That Irvin family, I do appreciate it. Man, you should have had that this morning in my message. My last, my third point of the message this morning was getting a vision of eternity. And, you know, that's appropriate to ask that question, where will you be a million years from now and will you be happy? You know, we all make the choices that determine our eternal destiny while we're down here. And there's no change. You can't go back and change your mind. It's all done all at once. Matthew chapter 12. I want you to look down at verse number 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. They wanted to see some miracles. Much like Herod had said, you know, he had heard about Jesus. And he said, do something. I want to see you do something. Jesus doesn't do miracles for tricks, you know. And that's not what they're about. But the Pharisees said, Master, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. In other words, at the judgment seat and or at the great white throne of judgment, they will be together. And he said, the men of Nineveh will condemn this generation. Why? Because the men of Nineveh, the Bible says, repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus says, I'm here, I'm greater than Jonah, which is true. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, that's so true. Father, thank you for the word this night. I pray again that you might give us the grace that's needed to speak, to think, to have liberty and freedom of thought and memory and remembrance of those things that's been read and studied. Lord God, I pray that for no other reason, I could care less, Lord, if I get the credit. I could care less if I stumble and stammer, but I would rather have liberty and freedom that shows the power of your presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to give us a message, to give us a message and unction where we hear it from on high and not just from the lips of a human being. Forgive my sin. Give the grace that's needed. Honor yourself in everything that's read and everything that's said. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Master, we would see a sign from thee. In other words, what they're wanting is something supernatural, miraculous, something that is beyond reason, like turning the water into wine, like cursing the tree and let's see it wilt all at once, like parting the Sea of Galilee or any number of other things. We would see a sign. Not that they would believe it. The magicians down in Egypt mimicked much of what Moses did through the power of Almighty God. They mimicked much of what took place, and still Pharaoh hardened his heart. But we would see a sign from thee, the supernatural. The word supernatural or miraculous means existing or occurring outside the known forces of nature. It's attributed to a hypothetical force beyond nature. In other words, all that being said, it's miraculous. It's divine. The things that Jesus did were truly miraculous and truly were divine. Only God could do the things that he did. Now, I want to talk about supernatural for a little while tonight. And I want to list some things of the supernatural as we think about them for a little bit, okay? I like that you know, signaling back to Jesus. I can't wait for him to get here. But I think about signaling back. We're here, we're holding the fort till you come. You know, literally is what we're saying. We're going to hold it down. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's getting harder and harder to hold down the fort anymore. You find more and more of the soldiers abandoning the fort. You find more and more soldiers that are giving up and turning back and becoming part of the world. But I look forward to Jesus coming. It takes a supernatural person to realize the message of the supernatural book that Jesus has for us, and to realize and not lose faith that he truly is coming again. So I want to talk to you for a little bit about the supernatural book. That book you were waving a moment ago, that's a supernatural book, by the way. There's something vitally special about this book. And I talk about it, I read it, I understand it, I think about it. I love to feed the inner man from this supernatural book. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to notice what the Apostle Peter has to say about the book. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 15. The Apostle Peter writes, and he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." In other words, he's saying, we've written these things down. We wrote them down by the word of God, by the breath of God, that you might be able to remember the things that we taught, the things that God was interested in, that you may always have these things in remembrance. Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." I like that. Peter said, hey, we didn't make this stuff up. We didn't put this down by some fable that we heard and incorporate here and incorporate there. We were eyewitnesses of the majesty of God right here. We were eyewitnesses. I'm reminded of John's letter, the first John. Starts off and John says, we've handled the word of truth. We've been in the presence of the word of truth. We've seen him. We've heard him. We've been in his presence. We've touched him. We've handled him. The word of Almighty God again and again. Here Peter writes and he says, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." He goes on and he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy," forthtelling, not foretelling, but forthtelling. The prophetic word in propagating it and putting it forth. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." Take heed to the book, the supernatural book. He says, "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." A supernatural book. A book that's been God breathed upon. An inspired book. The men that Peter wrote about, including himself, were breathed upon, inspired, dictated to the very words of God to put down. And so I treat this book as I treat no other book. This is a supernatural book. I don't treat it superstitiously, but I do reverence it. I do honor it. I do recognize it as God's living word to me and to you and have great respect towards it. Job writes in Job chapter 32, Job 32 and verse number 8, he says this, "But there is a spirit in man, And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now go back and look at it. There is a spirit in man. He's talking about a new birth. Way back, the very oldest book in the Bible, Job. Job was a very wise individual. He had a connection with God. And he says there is a spirit in man. What he was referring to is that born again spirit. That new man, after we come to know God as Father and Jesus as Savior, there is a spirit that is born again in mankind. Look, and the inspiration of the Almighty. The word inspiration is translated the breath. The breath, in this case, the breath of God. And the inspiration of the Almighty and the breath of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Why, that 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by the very breath of God as he dictates. You see it? A supernatural book. Oh my goodness. That's why you should be reading this, because that supernatural book feeds the supernatural man that's born again inside of you and me. That supernatural book gives that supernatural man a purpose and gives him a direction and gives him a power whereby he might accomplish that which God has for him in his life. The supernatural book that's inspired by Almighty God. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever." A divine library of 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years with a 400-year interval between the old and new. 40 different writers, and there's not one contradiction in all the pages and all the words of this supernatural book. I talked about it this morning when it says that in the last days at the great white throne of judgment, that those people who are in hell will be resurrected out, given a new body, and stand before the great white throne of judgment. And the books were opened, and another book, the book of life, was opened. The books, ta biblia, the library, the books, the 66 books of the Bible will be their judgment for their degree of punishment. Wow. It's a divine library. 66 books written over 1,500 year period. Mercy. Over 40 different writers. Glorious. There were writers of all walks of life. There were shepherds and herdsmen. There were those who were in exiles to die, as John was on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation. There were tax collectors and preachers, prophets from the mountains, from the deserts, from palaces, from Jerusalem to Babylon. Writers of all walks of life have penned down the words that God dictated to them, and we have a most perfect and a most complete, a miraculous book. It is supernatural. Thank God for it. It records the words of kings and priests, of poets, of fishermen, lawyers, physicians. It records the word of God, angels, the devil, and even donkeys when they speak. The word of God. The first five books were written about 1,400 years before Christ. The last book in the Bible about 96 AD. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but by the very word of Almighty God, the supernatural book. That's why I encourage you to bring that book with you when you come to church. You ever been on vacation? You've been someplace and you went to church and you noticed something different about it right away. People were coming in without a Bible. I think, I tell my wife, we're in for it. If they're not bringing their Bible, they're not bringing their sword. They're not bringing their sword, we're in trouble already. And sure enough, the preacher got up to preach. I guess that's what you call it. He told a story about some orphan and somebody else feeding some people in their house, and that was about the gist of it. It was over. It was pitiful without the supernatural word. There's a supernatural word, but it comes from a supernatural God. In John chapter 8, Jesus gives these words. John chapter 8, verse 58. Look at verse 56. In John 8, 56, Jesus was debating some fellows. Again, they were the religious crowd, and they had just enough religion to get them into hell. They were that religious crowd. Jesus said in John 8, 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Wait a minute. Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" This doesn't make sense. Who do you think you are? Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Oh man, you talk about powerful words. They cut to the quick on those Pharisees and religious individuals who thought they knew more than Jesus did. And when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," it cut to the bone. And in verse 50, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Hey, on several occasions in the book of John, Jesus uses the eternal name of God, the great I am. You remember when Moses was standing at the burning, he said, "Lord, who shall I say hath sent me? What name do you go by? How shall I know to tell your people who you are?" And he said, "Tell them that I am hath sent thee." I am that I am. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who shall be, the ever-living God, the great I am. Several times Jesus says, "I am." And we read it and it says, "I am he," or "I am the bread of life. I am the river of living water. I am, the resurrection and the life." Well, what he's saying is the great, ever-present, all-knowing, supernatural God, the great I am, is the resurrection of life. The great I am is the bread of life. The great I am is the water of life. And we know that to be true. And here Jesus says, "Before Abraham was," he's simply saying God was in existence before Abraham. I am. And they didn't know it. Look, you only understand the book and you only understand the words of God if you've been born again yourself into his family. And then you have a supernatural understanding that you never had before. It's no wonder to me that worldly people say, "I can't understand the Bible." The Bible is spiritually understood. It's not carnally understood. So, not only do we have a supernatural book, but we also have a supernatural God. Before Abraham was, I am. Look in John chapter 1. The first chapter of John is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible because it tells the story of Jesus. It tells the story of where he came from, who he was before, and all about the existence of this world, this earth, and you and me. It tells the story of a supernatural God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." That's the person who Jesus, that's the second part of the great triune Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I like it. But notice this word "beginning" in John chapter 1 and verse 1 does not refer to the startup of things. It doesn't refer to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." This word "beginning" refers to time before there was time. Back in eternity, a million years from now, how happy will you be? That's eternity. I know we'll be there by at least within a million years. I'm certain we're going to be there. Huh? One way or another, I'm going to get to be with Jesus. I'm going to die of old age, or he's going to come after me. One or the other, but we're going to get there by and by. But look, in the beginning, in eternity, was the Word. I don't have time to do the whole message, or I won't get there. I love to preach this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, talks about Jesus creating and being in the very beginning when there was nothing at all. Notice John 1, 2. The same was in the beginning with God. There's the word beginning again. Now, this time, the word beginning in verse 2 refers to Genesis 1, 1, when he created. In the beginning, verse 1, that's eternity. Jesus, the second part of the Godhead, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word of God, is already in existence. The triune God is already in existence. How can that be? You say, he's a supernatural God. You know what? He didn't create himself after our image and likeness, but we're created after his image and likeness. If you're going to try your very best to understand God, and it took me a while to come to this, I didn't have an explanation. Nobody explained it to me, but I think I am 100% on. God created me and you, a triune being, in his image and his likeness. He's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Yet, there's not three gods. There's only one God. I look at Joe Rail. Thank God there's not three of them. But Joe's a triune being. And you can recognize the triune being within yourself because you have emotions, that's your soul. You have been born again. You have a love for God that is beyond, you know, anything you've ever done. You have a love for God, a desire to do God's will, a desire for the supernatural book, because the supernatural man that's born again has a craving and a hungering for the supernatural book. Just like the carnal man has a craving for cream-filled Krispy Kreme donuts. The spiritual man has a craving for the spiritual bread of life, the Word of God. So God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He created us in his likeness and image. I have a soul, that's my emotions, my self-awareness. I have a spirit that was dead but is alive now when I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I've been born again. I'm a brand new creature in Christ. And I have a body that I see getting age spots and starting to diminish and starting to get weaker than it used to be when I was 30 years old. I have a body. And I'm reminded how frail it is every day. But the supernatural man on the inside, the spiritual man, does not age. And he doesn't get weaker. I think he gets stronger as he feasts on the Word of God. So Jesus said, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Or when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whoa, Thomas said, how is that possible? I understand now what he was saying. He was not saying that he and the Father were the same person. He's not saying that I am the Father. The Father is separate. The Father is separate. Jesus is not saying I'm the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is separate. There are three personalities, one God. There are three personalities in you, one individual. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, when I would do good in the spirit, the flesh is always with me and drags me down, and I end up doing the things that the flesh desires more than I do the things the spirit desires. I know that there's a warfare in me between that which is spiritual and that which is fleshly. Oh, yeah. When I would do good, I'm that way. Jesus said, and Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not Jesus. There are three distinct personalities, three distinct personalities of the Godhead. And there are three distinct personalities of Joe Rail or John Nelson or Jared or Gerald or Steve. There's three personalities. There's one that's born again. There's one of the flesh. And then there's the physical body. Well, preacher, when we get to heaven, are we going to see three personnel? Are we going to see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? I think we're going to see Jesus when we see it there. Jesus sitting on the throne. The great I Am. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Are they going to be separate? They can still be separate. Jesus said, if you love me, you love the Father. And if you love the Father, you love me. The supernatural God. When I look in the 139th Psalm in verse number 7, I find the supernatural God in His omnipresence. The 139th Psalm, verse number 7, the psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the word hell, it's a translation of Sheol. And it means literally the grave. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Wow. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. The omnipresence of God. Thank God for it. There's no place you can go to get away from God. There's no place you can hide. There's no place too far, too near, inside, outside, darkness or light that you can lose God. He's ever near. He's always present. Is He present here tonight? Yes, He is. What about Africa? Do they? Yeah, same time. What about the other side of the world? Same time. He's omnipresent. He's all present. I want you to get the gist of that. And I want you to see in Psalm 33, His greatness. The 33rd Psalm in verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Psalm 33, 6. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Well, Al Gore says that the polar caps are going to melt and Florida is going to be underwater. Not if I read the Bible correctly. God says He's made a boundary for the oceans and they cannot cross it. By the word of His mouth He hath spoken and creation has obeyed. Verse 9, for He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I love it. Verse 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Why? He's a supernatural God. He's not made of stone nor of wood. He's not made of any of the precious metals. He's not made of brass or of gold. He's far beyond that. He's supernatural. He's miraculous. You can't explain everything about God. Where did God come from? Somebody asked me. I said, you know what? I have a great answer for that. When we get to be with Him in heaven, you can ask Him that question. And He can possibly tell you that. But I can't. Where did God come from? Wherever He was before He created us. I don't know. He was in eternity, the Bible says, before creation was. What was He doing? I have no idea. Right now, I don't really care. All I know is one day He's coming for me and I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. And I'll have plenty of time to say, hey, God, I just want to know, I've been bugged my whole pastoral life by a guy named Joe Rail. He kept wanting me to ask you where you were before you created things. I'm going to ask him for Joe. Amen. Hey, a supernatural God. He's wonderful. He's beyond description. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. Not only do we have a supernatural book and a supernatural God, but I call your attention to the third thing down the list that I have that probably should have come first, but nevertheless, it is what it is. We have a supernatural birth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, Lord, how is it possible that a man when he's old can enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, you don't understand, Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. A supernatural birth. I find it in John chapter 3, in verse number 3, in that great speech that Jesus made to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said, I say unto thee, except. You know, Jesus isn't very tolerant, is he? Think about it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. There's a lot of nice people in the world. There are a lot of people who mean well, who try to do right, who are good. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kid. That's not tolerant. There'd be too many people who read the book today is going to get offended, huh? They're going to get their feelings hurt. But I got news for you. Jesus made the way for us all to enter into heaven and to be present with Almighty God. But he said, you're going to have to go my way, not your way, if you get there. It's free for you. I paid the price myself. Here it is for you. All you have to do is go the way of the cross and the way of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Now, come on. There's all kinds of things that go around. If you talk to the Church of Christ people, they tell you plainly, all right, right there it is. Baptism saves you. Baptism washes all your sins away. You've been born of the water. No, look, the baptistry is not a picture of birth and life. It's a picture of a burial. Death is what it signifies. We've died with Christ. We've been buried in that watery grave. And when we come up, it shows a picture of the resurrection and the newness of life. But he said, except a man be born of water, that's a physical birth. Jesus did not die for angels. He didn't die for spiritual beings. He died for physical man who had, hey, when a woman gets close to delivering a child, well, what do they normally say to their husband when they, bang, kick him in the ribs with their elbow and say, my water just broke. It's time. We need to get going. Hey, she's saying it's close. We know what that means. The child is close to being born. That sack that is around that unborn baby has that fluid that we call water, and that's exactly what Jesus is referring to. Except a man be born of water, fleshly, physically, and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. How can these things be? Verse 9. Well, Nicodemus, you're lost. You're without Christ. You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. I know you don't understand it. There's some things you cannot understand. Trust me. You cannot understand until you're born again, until you give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in, and then he's your teacher. Why? Because it's supernatural. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation, a new creature, a new birth, he's saying. You must be born again. Supernatural birth, I love it. I participated in it. You that are saved tonight have participated in a supernatural birth. I love it. Hey, I learned years ago that you and I were born again instantaneously upon our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It didn't take 5 minutes. It didn't take 10. Now, somebody might have read you the Bible scriptures and explained it to you, but when you called upon Jesus, it happened instantaneously. Amen? And I got a picture as I was thinking of that. I began to understand the virgin birth more. The virgin birth of Christ, what happened? God said that His Spirit would overshadow the womb of Mary. What happened there? What happened? All kinds of things get conceived in the minds of man if you're not careful. Well, what happened at your new birth? Well, I don't know, but something happened. Yeah? Well, Titus explains it, and he says the washing of regeneration the Holy Spirit gave. In other words, He reversed your dead spirit. He made your spirit alive. He touched us instantaneously, miraculously, supernaturally. The Holy Spirit touched our dead spirit with the life of Almighty God, and suddenly we had eternal life within us, a supernatural life. The life, John says in John chapter 1 in verses 12 through 14, that it was not the life of men on the earth. It was not by flesh and blood, but it was supernatural, the life of Almighty God. Wow. Same thing happened to Mary's womb when the Holy Spirit overshadowed and touched, gave the life of God to that egg, gave the life of God in that womb that grew and became the flesh and blood body of Jesus Christ. Mercy. You begin to understand. Begins to send goosebumps down my back. We have a wonderful thing that He's done for us and to us. A supernatural birth that the world cannot explain, but you and I can. We understand. Supernatural birth from above. That's how we have eternal life. And for our brothers and sisters in the assemblies and all these other denominations and so on that say, well, you get saved through Jesus, but you stay saved by works, and if you mess up, you lose it. You got to get saved again. They're doctrinally and theologically incorrect because you can't get born again but just one time. Don't you see that? And how do you undo the eternal life of God? How do you stamp out the life of God? You cannot. Well, if I have the life of God in me, I've been born again by God's life, not by my life. If I've been born again by the power of Almighty God and I have His life in me, now I have eternal life. One part of me, the Spirit, has eternal life. The flesh doesn't have it yet. The soul doesn't have it yet, but the Spirit does. You can't lose it. You can't cause it to cease. It's a supernatural birth. There's a fourth thing that I talk about that goes in conjunction. Okay, so we have a supernatural birth. There's only one third of us that has that supernatural, miraculous birth. That's our spirit. But one of these days, the body's going to have a supernatural being to it. One day. Either the resurrection or the rapture when that happens and takes place. Notice in Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 20 and verse number 21. Philippians 3, 20, 21. He says, for our conversation, King James word meaning our lifestyle, our living. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, future tense, who shall change our vile body, vile, meaning low estate or lowness, our vile body. It's corrupt right now. If you don't get it in the grave pretty quick, it's going to start stinking. Amen. It's corrupt. He shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Thank God for it, a supernatural body. If I had time, I could go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read all about the changing of that body, the supernatural body, from corruptible to incorruptible, and all of those kinds of things. A supernatural body. I just know that one day I'm going to exchange what I'm living in now for something that looks the same, only better. These people that train their children to do their work for them. Mike Coleman's and Gretchen's little girl came up to me one day when they were showing the Meet Our Pastor picture on the video here. And she said, she pulled on my coat and I looked down and there she was, her brown hair and brown eyes looking up at me. And she said, "Preacher." I said, "Yes, ma'am," with a big smile on my face. She said, "Who's that?" "Go away, kid, go away." "Who told you to ask that?" And she smiled at me. I said, "Did somebody tell you to ask me that?" And she said, "Uh-huh." I said, "Was it Daddy?" She said, "Uh-huh." I said, "Thanks. I'll clean his plow." Yeah, I had hair in that picture. She said, "Who's that?" I said, "Go away." And she said, "Where did the brown hair go?" I said, did somebody tell you to ask me?" "Uh-huh." I said, "Was it your daddy?" "Uh-huh." I said, "Okay, I'll get him." "Yeah. Where did the hair go?" "Yeah, okay. Well, one day I'm going to have a supernatural body that's going to look better than this one, and it'll be without pain, without sorrow. It'll be perfect like the spirit that lives inside of it is." I can't wait. Supernatural. Jesus had a supernatural body when he met with the disciples and he fed them fish and honeycomb and he ate with them. His supernatural body ate fish and the honeycomb. That encourages me to think that I might get to eat Krispy Kreme donuts in heaven. Yeah? And not gain weight. Wouldn't that be glorious? Or not have a sugar attack after it's over. You know? Somebody says, "Does all that sugar keep you awake?" No, it has the opposite effect. It wants to put me to sleep. That's the problem. I eat it and I tell my wife, "I need a honey bun. I need a Krispy Kreme donut." And to try to stay awake. Well, the eating process keeps you awake, but once that sugar kicks in, boy, oh, it's horrible. I run off the road, you hit those little bumper things on the side of the road and it sounds like your wheels are coming off. And she'll say, "Are you all right?" She's been sleeping. And she wakes up and she says, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, I was sleeping one eye at a time and the other eye got jealous." So anyway, stay away from the donuts and stuff. Supernatural body. Here's the last thing. Last thing I have for you is a supernatural power in the church today. Man, when I go to church, I want to meet with God, don't you? I mean, really. Why go to church if you can't meet with God there? Why go to church if they never preach from God's word? Why go to church if they never pray to the holy God? Why go to church if they're only concerned about entertaining one another or they're only concerned about coming away and feeling great after being in the service? I mean, having a fuzzy feel-good feeling. Well, there's more to it than that. There's a supernatural power in the church if everything's running correctly. In the book of Acts chapter 2 in verse number 1, Acts chapter 2 in verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they," that is that 120, that little church in the very beginning, "and they were all with one accord in one place." That's unusual for a Baptist church today to all be in one accord in one place. Everybody to be there at the same time and everyone getting along with everyone else. Isn't that amazing? But it's supernatural. And there's a supernatural You reap what you sow. When you sow getting along with others, when you sow forgiveness, when you sow love, when you sow long-suffering, when you sow gentleness, when you sow soul-winning, when you sow all of these things, you reap the power of a supernatural presence of Almighty God. When you rely upon Him. On the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord, in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in other tongues. White man speak with forked tongue in his own language. You know, white man speak forked tongue. King James is right. In the old days, tongues referred to languages. You know, so they all spake in an unknown language. Well, that would be great, not having studied, Swahili, to be able to speak Swahili, not having studied some of the languages of the world, to be able to speak. Russian is one of the most difficult I've ever seen in my life. They don't even use the alphabet correctly. Everything's backwards with them, and it's understandable why they don't know whether they're coming or going most of the time. But notice, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It only happened one time, and that's all that's going to happen. Some of our brethren in other denominations seem to think that it's a sign of being born again when you get baptized in the Spirit and you've been filled with the Spirit. Listen, it doesn't happen 4, 5, 16, 27 different times. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It was predicted and talked about in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 8. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He's talking about the body of the church. He's not talking about individuals who were filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit at a later time. He's talking about the church being immersed by the very persons of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like a birth happening again, because it made the Jew who hated the Gentile and the Gentile who hated the Jew, no matter what colors they were, they hated one another. It made them both as one in the same body. It takes a supernatural something to make that happen. And the Holy Spirit did it. Not only did He baptize Jew and Gentile and immerse them into the same body and make them as one, He gave spiritual gifts to the church. He gave men as gifts to the church, and He sent them forth. But notice, ye shall receive power. We talked about this several weeks ago when we preached on the power of the Holy Spirit and how to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We also talked about it when we talked about the power. There is power in right living, right doing, being right all the time. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. The whole purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is to have soul-winning power, to be able to witness of Jesus Christ with boldness, without fear, but with strength and unction and truth in the Holy Word of God. A supernatural power in the church of today is as much possible as it was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, I'm not saying that you have miraculous tongues. Tongues have been done away with. The gift of tongues has been done away with. But you do have the Holy Spirit presence, and you do have His enabling grace and His enabling power. You still have His boldness in your life. You still have the supernatural ability to stand and proclaim the Word of God and to witness to others. All you have to do is take the first step. The first step's always the hardest because it's that first step of faith that we're responsible for. He said if you take the first step, He'll take the rest of them for us. How many times I've seen that exercise. That first door you knock on is the hardest one. But if you go and trust the Lord for it and knock on it, He will fill you with His presence and His power. And then the rest of them come easy. It's the first one is getting out of the car. The hardest part about faith is the first step. Power is still upon the churches today, positionally, though we deny Him practically oftentimes in our lives. Supernatural power in the church. It's the same Spirit that was in creation in Genesis when He brought order out of chaos. The Holy Spirit doesn't cause chaos. He brings order out of chaos. The same Holy Spirit is the one who quickens men and has been now for thousands of years when they give their heart to Christ. The Holy Spirit supplies talents to men and bring salvation through Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 8, when He has come, He's speaking about the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man cometh to me except the Father which sent me draw him. No man comes to me except the Holy Spirit draw. It's the Holy Spirit that knocks on your door. It's the Holy Spirit that says Jesus is your only hope and your only help. It's the Holy Spirit who gives witness to that truth when you hear it. Though you don't understand it, when you're lost without Christ, He still brings that positive truth about. Last of all, in speaking about the supernatural power in our church today, still, we have to read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, John writes about the Holy Spirit of God. And he says in verse 19 and 20, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They didn't believe the same things. But notice what John says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God Himself, under the breath of God as he writes. Notice what he says. But ye who are born again, John writes this whole book in 1 John for the purpose of people who are born again, understanding some things. And he says, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, and ye know all things. In other words, a child of God has an inner witness. When the preacher's preaching and he sounds upon truth, and the Holy Spirit inside says, yes, that's right. And you know that's right. That's the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's a witness of the Spirit inside of everyone that's born again. But ye have an unction. It means you have an endowment from the Lord. You have an anointing from the Lord, an unction from God to understand and know the truth. I pray oftentimes for God to supply the unction to the reading of the book when we read it, that we not hear it from the lips of the speaker, but we hear it from the lips of God as He whispered in the ears of the writers and they wrote it down. I pray God would give us unction for that the people might hear from God. And so many needs and so many desires and cares in life, and yet God can speak to each one. Isn't that amazing? It's a supernatural church that we have. A supernatural power in the church of Almighty God. A supernatural power that gives us new life and a new birth. Thank you, Father, for the word tonight. I trust and pray that you've had your own way. You've manifested yourself to your people. in a supernatural way, and they've understood that you've been here tonight. They understand that you're within the workings of a local visible church. You're there to empower, to guide, to call, to encourage, to give direction and purpose. I pray your purpose be done tonight. I pray your will be known. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's